But as yet, she had no real idea what that ancient technology might entail. She was flying blind into a storm, but that was the only direction to take. She'd contacted Master Dan Powell and told her of the situation. The Jedi Master had promised that she could instruct those few Jedi currently on Nox to monitor incoming off-planet traffic, but it was a notoriously renegade planet, and the majority of travel to and from Nox was unregistered. Finding Dale and the Stargazer's ship would be like finding a particular pebble on a beach, especially considering Lannery still had no clue what type of ship they might be flying. Dan Powell had asked if Tree was still with her, and Lannery had nodded. The resulting silence had been loaded. But the Twi'lek had not moved from Lannery's cot to speak to the Jedi Master, and Dan Powell had nodded and then signed off. Lannery stared at the stars and stroked the scarred mass on the back of her left hand. She still remembered the day Dale had given her that. The beginning of the end.
"So you actually live in this thing?"
Trisana asked. "It's my ship, yes."
"It's a bit bland. Not much of a home. Don't you get claustrophobic?"
"With this view?" Lannery hadn't even raised the back of the flight seat. But perhaps Tree was growing bored, and confrontation would pass the time.
"I never did like space travel. Always makes me feel sick. We weren't built to travel through space. However well shielded a ship is, I'm not convinced I don't get baked by radiation every time I leave the atmosphere. Your grav unit's configured wrong, too. I feel twice my usual weight, and that's making me even sicker."
Lannery raised and turned her flight seat, smiling. "Is that all?"
"No. It stinks in here. I know you're probably used to it, but electrics and grease and the smell of you. And let's face it, your ship is small. You sit where you sleep when you eat. And that bathroom, I have to tell you, Jedi, I've been in some of the seediest taverns in the worst of the nine houses on Shikokwa, and even they have better amenities than you. How can you wash in recycled water? Where's the shower?"
His face fell as if he had just recognized a terrible truth.
"And what do you eat?"
"Ah," Lannery said. "Food. Good idea." She stood and entered the living area, opening a small cupboard set in one wall. As she did so, she nudged the droid where it worked at a drop-down bench. "Anything yet, Ironholgs?" The droid did not even reply. It was tweaking and adjusting a delicate arrangement of wires and chips on the broken end of the memory cell, and it paused briefly as if disturbed, then continued. "I'll take that as a no," Lannery said. "Now then, Tree. Here. Take your choice." She threw a handful of packets across her cot, several of them landing on Tree's legs.
"What's this?"
"Dried food." "What, you think I'm hiding a hydroponic pod somewhere at the back of the ship?" Tree picked up a silvery packet and looked at it in disgust. His face wrinkled, Leku drawing back as if from something poisonous.
"You eat this stuff?"
"Hot water, some salt. Some of it can be pretty good. Although you've got Dangbat stir there. Gotta admit, that's not the best."
"How long do you spend in this thing?"
Tree asked, looking around, feigning disbelief. Lannery was starting to get annoyed. She hadn't really wanted him along. Didn't trust him. Especially since she'd seen the true, harder Tree behind the quips and false face he displayed. But she was stuck with him now. And he with her. Civility didn't cost much. "Once I was in deep space for over 200 days, tracking a special forces cell from Krev-Kur gone mercenary."
200?
Tree shook his head in despair. "I don't need what you need," Lannery said. She slipped a food packet into a metal pocket behind the cupboard hatch and charged it with hot water. Delicious smells filled the cabin, soon whisked away by the climate conditioner. "I know what Dan Powell's promised you, and I'm sure you'll get it. But vast estates don't interest me. Fast ships, great wealth, prominence, standing in the community, overflowing credit accounts on a dozen worlds." She took the packet and started eating. "Men, adoration, even respect. I don't need any of that." Tree laughed.
"Then you're..."
"Because I know there's more to life," she said, cutting him off. She was tired of his inanities and angry that he could be so superficial. In the face of everything she knew, and all that he must know. Such shallowness offended her. There's the Force. It binds and holds us, and makes everything precious to me. It's our reason for being. There is no ignorance. There is knowledge. And that's much more precious than fine foods or somewhere comfortable to wash.
You sound like one of the clans on Kalamar praying to one of their sprash gods.
Difference being, I know the Force exists. Trisana smiled and nodded, never taking his eyes from hers. It was a strange moment. Dan Powell had made him unreadable, and Lannery wondered why the Jedi Master had employed such a dangerous man. Or perhaps what she'd done to him that had made him this way.
But there's not always balance, is there, Jedi?
He asked, as if he knew everything. Eat, she said. It's really not that bad. She turned her back on him again, sat in her cockpit seat, and thought of those experiments she had put on hold. There was darkness there if she did not use caution. But she was comfortable. She was balanced. There was no reason at all to worry. Lannery stayed there for some time, and Tree must have read her need to remain undisturbed. She was glad of that. She didn't like having someone else in her ship, and despite all her best efforts, being constantly reminded of his presence was putting her on edge. Ashlaw and Bogan were out of sight, along with Tython, 160 million kilometers away on the other side of Tythos. Yet she felt their pull and presence, as did every Jedi wherever they might be in the system. Ashlaw was light, and Bogan dark, and they tugged at her with a comforting gravity, as if she were suspended at the most perfect balancing point between the moons, influenced by both, yet pulled in neither direction. It had not always been like this. After she had lost Dale, halfway through her great journey, she had experienced a period of unbalance. Returned home. Learned from her parents to be trusting and trustworthy in the Force once again. It had been nowhere near serious enough to warrant exile, but it had troubled her greatly then, and still did now. And Dan Powell had warned that her experiments had the potential to upset the balance once more. The alchemy of flesh, genetic manipulation,